Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now making a long overdue return visit with us here on Thursday night, Tailgate, is former BC Lions defensive back Dante Marsh. Let me remind you about Dante's background. He's from Oakland, California, played his college ball at Fresno State, had a brief stint with the Tennessee Titans before an injury cost him the 2001 season. He signed as a free agent with the BC Lions in 2004 and played with them from 04 to 2014. He was an integral part of two of their Grey Cup championships back in 2006 and 2011, was a three-time Western All-Star, and was an overall CFL All-Star in 2008. And we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Dante, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dante.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dante, you've been away from the game for a few years now, but always in tremendous shape. And I read that after your time with the Lions, your phone continued to ring for a few years, but you really never thought the situation was right for you. And to me, looking back over your stats, you seemed like a guy that probably could, A, still be playing and probably could play for a few more years beyond, you know, where you're at now. Again, 39 years old, but you just seem like a guy that could be like a Darryl Green that probably could have played into your 40s. Were you done after your last season, or could you have continued to play on?
No, I could have played a few more years. Situation that happened in Vancouver left a bad taste in my mouth of sorts, because I was still playing at a high level at 35 years old, which is unheard of at my position, football period, but at my position, it was crazy. So yeah, I could have played 37, 38. I'll be turning 40 in February. So I still get after it. I still look like I'm probably in my 20s physically, move around well. But, I'm coaching. I've been coaching for 4 years. I did 3 years at the JC level, and now I'm coaching at Edison High School in Stockton, along with Lavelle Hawkins and Desmond Bishop, Tim Brown, who played with me up in Canada, Latif Graham, and a bunch of other guys. So we put together a real great staff over there, doing some things with the youth. So coaching was my next career anyway, so I just got a head start.
And to your point, Dante, you were still playing at a high level. Do you think it was just the fact that you were 35, the number 35 for your age? You know, BC Lions probably looked and said, you know what, hey, he can't continue to go on this path. He's 35 years old. We got to move on. Was it just the fact that that was your age and they thought maybe you couldn't do it anymore because 35 is some sort of, you know, high level mark that says people can't play at a high level after that age?
No, I believe it was different variables that played a part in their situation. For one, I was a guy that's been up there 11 years, won, you know, championships, and, you know, should be a future Hall of Famer. So, I think the influence I had on some of the younger guys, in terms of as a veteran guy, you are supposed to help the younger players and the guys that come after you. So in terms of like collective bargaining agreements and just being at one of the elder statesmen in the organization, I think one, it was, you know, let's go get a cheaper, younger guy. And two, you know, he's a veteran guy and we kind of want to just get the older guys that we're paying out of here. I think it was a combination of things that I won't really go into, but nonetheless, I mean, I'm not bitter about it. I mean, I had a great career. Like I said, I had somewhat of a bad taste in my mouth, but that was what, 4 going on 5 years ago. I'm over it. Everything is good. I'm coaching. I went back and finished my degree. I'm halfway done with my master's program now, so it's all good.
That last point that you made, one of the many great things that you've accomplished was keeping your promise to your mother and your father that after your playing days, you would go back to Fresno State, complete your college degree. And you did that. And to your point, you're now in the graduate program. But talk about the drive to go back and get that done.
Well, education is forever. You only can play a game for so long. I mean, either I could play now, honestly, but, you know, father time is father time. You know, it's a young man's game, so eventually you will not be an athlete getting paid to be an athlete at some point. But you're going to be a civilian for the rest of your life. So what do you do in those, when that transition time comes? So with me, I never knew it was going to turn out to be that long of a football career. I was blessed and fortunate for that to take place. But, you know, the school, the education, I just thought in my mind, like, there's no way I could look at my son, he'll be 17 in March, my daughter 10 in December. And how can I tell them to finish what they start and stay on them and push them in terms of their education? And I didn't think. And like you alluded to earlier, I did make a promise to my mother and father. And they're both deceased at this point. So I had to go back. And it would be such a travesty for me to be a scholarship athlete out of high school and have 6 classes left to finish my degree and never do it.
5 questions for Dante. Yeah.
It's great to have you back, Dante. And I want to stay on that Fresno State, the whole experience there. Obviously, we think of Fresno State. We think of offense. We think of, but obviously, for you to get to the pro level, had to be an incredible football school overall. And of course, the education, and they have a great baseball program. Talk about more about the Fresno State experience when you were there originally.
Okay, so I was a part of the Pat Hill's first recruiting class. So myself, David Carr, Anthony Limbrick, Alan Harper, Paris Gaines. We had a bunch of guys. It was Michael Pittman senior year. Billy Bullock was a junior. So we were the start of building something pretty good down in Fresno in the Valley. You know, Jeff Teffer was the offensive coordinator before he left because he's a Fresno State guy, played there, you know, was the OC there, then left, and now he's back, and she was there doing it now. So it was a good experience overall. We were like the little brothers, I guess, of Division I football, especially, you know, in California, in the close proximity with all the Pac-10 schools at the time. And there was no Mountain West, so our conference was 16 teams deep in the WAC, the Old Western Athletic Conference, and it was a pass-happy conference. So it was a good experience just to help put a school on the map, because prior to that, the last guys were, you know, Lorenzo Neal, Trent Dilfer, my DB coach was J.D. Williams, who was a first-round draft pick out of there. So it kind of had lost its luster, and then Sweeney retired, and then Pat Hill, you know, came in, and he came and got us, and we started building something good. And, you know, matter of fact, I'm going to my alumni homecoming game this weekend against Hawaii out in Fresno. So just to look back and see, go back to 1997 and then my 4 years there, and then, you know, how the year after I left, David Carvin guys got to as high as number 8 in the nation. And when he went that year, he went first overall. It was just a beautiful thing. So just to see the progress and the way the city is now and how it's built up and it's such a college town, it's great. I mean, at the time, there were times where I did not like Fresno when I was there initially, but, you know, it's a beautiful little town, man. It's a college town, and, you know, that program has really done what it had needed to do. I was kind of worried before Tepper got back because it kind of went down south in terms of, you know, the record, biggest turnaround last year, previously, you know, the year previous when they won 2 games. So it's looking good now at this point. It's back to where it should be. And I mean, I'm happy with it. I'm proud to say I'm alumni.
Dante, we've talked to many wide receivers who've played in Canada, and they actually said that the bigger field was advantageous to them. They liked it. Did defensive backs ever feel that? Did you ever feel that was a little bit of a deterrent or a problem for you?
My first handful of games in Canada back in 2004, it felt like a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics of the field, being bigger and longer, you know, you can cover an out route, and then on a regular field here in the States, you'll be there if it's a good break. Up there, there's still about 4 or 5 more yards on that sideline. So it was an adjustment period. But once you know, I played in the boundary, so that's the short side of the field. So once I got activated to the rules and all the motions and stuff like that, it became regular football for me, and I actually had a lot of fun playing up there. And I tell guys all the time, sometimes I wish I would have left college and went to the CFL before I had my NFL opportunity. Because if you can cover on a Canadian Football League field with all those fast guys running in motion and doing all those things, coming back home is a cakewalk.
And Dante, to that point, right, the adjustments you had to make in dealing with motion, you know, one of the unique things about the Canadian Football League is wide receivers get a running start. So how do you Absolutely. How do you make that adjustment, and how do you cover a guy who's already got a running start when the ball gets centered?
Well, you have to use a combination of backpedaling and shuffle step. It takes a while. You have to be a pretty good athlete. I know Chad Johnson, the year he was up there, he was like, man, people think this is a game up here, man. This is for real. It ain't. I know some people have a perception that the quality of play isn't that good up there. But we had, I don't know, hundreds of guys over the span of 7 years I was there, draft pick, count some big time programs in college, and couldn't even get off our practice squad. So, you know, once you understand that football is football, after a while, I didn't even, you know, pay any attention that it was 12 on 12 and only 3 downs. So, I mean, you get used to it after a while. Football is football. And then, you know, your competitive nature takes over, and, you know, we start having fun. The game is actually fun. It's high scoring. And from a defensive back standpoint, you do have to cover. You got to be at your best because, like you said, those guys can motion. It's not just one or two guys. All five guys can work on motion at the same time. So it was pretty difficult.
And Dante, you guys won the first of your two Grey Cups back in 2006. So curious to get your memories. When the clock reached 0-0 at the end of that game, and now you're a world champion, if you will, up in the CFL, what was that like for you?
It was amazing. It was cold. It was pretty cold. We were in, where were we? So, because I've been to three Grey Cups. My first year in 04, we lost to Damon Allen, the Ageless Wonder, when he was playing for Toronto. And then 06, the one we won, we played Montreal, and I think we were in Winnipeg. It was freezing. So all I could think about is when you see the Mounties, you know, they start bringing down the Grey Cup, like with the crowd and stuff, like with about 3 minutes left of the game, in the game. So it was just a surreal feeling. It was just like, wow, man, we put in all this work, and my name is actually going to go on a trophy that's over 100 years old. So, you know, champagne and all the stuff. Once the game was over, we got in the locker room. I guess, you know, the trainers went in there and got everybody's stuff all covered up, and cigars and champagne. It was a great feeling. The one in 2011, I think, was even greater because we started off like 1-6, and then we ran the table, and then we were hosting the game that year in Vancouver, and our stadium. It's a home game. It was great. So, coaching my young guys, man, I tell them all the time, there's no greater feeling than running out of introductions and thousands of people screaming your name when they introduce you, and kids wearing your jersey. You know, I get text messages every so often or tagged on my social media. A lot of people in Canada, they got my jerseys in bars, pubs, restaurants. It's kind of crazy.
Dante, when you look at the BC Lions this year, they've clinched a playoff berth. So do you stay in touch with what's going on up in the CFL, and do you think the Lions have another opportunity to win a Grey Cup?
I really don't pay attention to the Grey Cup. I'm too busy pursuing my Division I coaching job opportunity and focusing on my high school team, which, by the way, won our league for the first time in 41 years. So you're doing a big turnaround here at the high school. But I caught a couple games, like pieces of games here and there, and I just see stuff on Twitter because I don't really watch the CFL. I talk to D-Roy Simon every so often. We stay in touch. But as far as them, I know they did need to win a game last week. I think they won. So they did get in the playoffs. But I don't think they're going to do anything in the playoffs, honestly. I think in terms of the West, it's too tough. I think Calgary, who should be the favorite if they are do what they do, it's not even close.
Well, Dante, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the things that you're doing now and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
D Marsh, D-M-A-R-S-H 31 on Instagram, Dante Marsh on Twitter, Dante Marsh on Facebook. I'm pretty active on social media.
Well, Dante, it's been great catching up with you tonight. We appreciate the fact that you took some time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We'd love to stay in touch and have you come back on the show again real soon because we learn so much every time you're a part of it.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. And I'm kind of out of it a little bit because I got in a car accident earlier and right. somebody hit me and they fled. So I've been all over the place getting a rental car, police reports. I think I'm going to go to the hospital in a little bit, but my apologies.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. Thank you for still being here after going through all of that.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm a man of my word, so we'll make it happen.
Great.
Well, take care of yourself. Hopefully, you know, everything's okay. We'll stay in touch and hopefully get the opportunity to catch up with you again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Dante.
See you, Dante.
All right.
That is former BC Lions defensive back Dante Marsh in a car accident, Bob, but still joins us on the show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We often talk about playing hurt, Chris, and we love guys who do it, but my goodness, that's how good is that for a guy to join us and might be going to the hospital at this point. But great insight into the CFL, was a great player in his own right, so always a pleasure to have him on.
All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. Here are two more stories about players doing great things out there in their communities. We'll do that. We'll wrap up the show, and we're going to do it all on the other side of these words about our friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and DP Quality Foods from Joe Lajanusa.